You're listening to the Cup of Joe Morning Show podcast, hosted by Joe Hunter on the Sound of Life at soundoflife.org.
What a day in history, because I was very impressed as an impressionable youngster coming up in the era of John F. Kennedy. On this day, actually, it had already happened because it was overnight. It was from the August 1st into the 2nd. During World War II in 1943, this is in the Japanese theater, I guess. They had these patrol boats that had torpedoes on them. I think they had two. So they called them PT boats. And John Kennedy's was the PT-109. There was like maybe 15 of them all out on a patrol on a very dark night. No moon, no stars out, and very dark. And they were trying to stop these destroyers and stuff, the supply line coming through waterways there. And they fired all their torpedoes, didn't do anything, didn't hit anything. So it was, I mean, I'm not laughing about that. It was just the whole thing that night. It was a disaster. And then what really happened was, I guess there was just a couple left, including the PT-109 with John F. Kennedy on it. And it got cut in two. And John Kennedy ended up towing an injured sailor, swam to a small island in the Solomon Islands. Wow. And he became a hero, so much so that Jimmy Dean did a song about him, which I'm going to share a little bit of it for you. This is what we had when we were growing up kids. This is amazing.
In 43, they put to sea 13 men and Kennedy aboard the PT-109 to fight the brazen enemy. And off the Isle of Olesana, in the strait beyond Nauru, a Jap destroyer in the night cut the 109 in two. Smoke and fire upon the sea, everywhere they looked was the enemy. The heathen gods of old Japan, yeah, they thought they had the best of a mighty good man.
Yes, that's the kind of stuff that I grew up with. Of course, Jimmy Dean went on to make breakfast sauces, which was pretty cool.
Well, on with the show.
A great way to start your day. The Cup of Joe Morning Show.
Oh, you look like a man who could use more coffee.
The Sound of Life.
Came across as fascinating, because some people really know how to think out of the box. Not that it's Brian Fretwell necessarily, but Brian knows somebody who does. A lot of times you want to know what someone is good at. Maybe you're a teacher of some sort, you know, or you're a manager of people. You want to know what they're good at, and you want to ask them what they're good at. Most of the time, well, I'll just let Brian explain to you. This is good. You may want to take, because there's two questions that's really neat that you can ask people. Listen close.
So I recently talked to a teacher who had had more success helping people figure out what they're good at by asking two questions than she ever did asking them what they're good at. She said the problem with asking people directly what they're good at is they're usually too humble to tell you, or they downplay what they're actually good at. So she came up with two questions that would bring out their confidence and uncover what they take for granted. The first question is, what is it that you do that you think everyone else can do? And what she notices is that people will talk about things like saving or being creative or organizing as if everybody can do it, and they've never thought about it as a specific strength. And the second question she'll ask is, what is the thing that you know that you believe everyone should know? And that question helps them not be humble about what they can do, but talk openly because they're generally pretty passionate about it. She said it's not easy to get people to talk about what they're good about, so if you can talk about what they take for granted, you'll get a new story.
The Cup of Joe Morning Show with Joe Hunter.
Oh, you're a smooth talker. You are.
The Sound of Life.
Cup of Joe Morning Show Hotline. Yes, Cynthia, have you had anything like really cool happen lately?
My daughter got married 2 weeks ago.
Wow, that's pretty cool.
That was exciting. Yeah.
That is exciting, absolutely. Are they going to stick around Pennsylvania or what?
They're in Jersey.
Oh, they doing okay?
Not too bad. It's about 2 hours away.
Okay, you're going to keep in touch? You're going to be down there every weekend, aren't you?
No. I don't drive anymore, so I have to wait for her to come here.
Reaching the heart of the Northeast, the Sound of Life.
He was born on this day, James Baldwin, not the actor, the activist, author. Activist. He's right, though. He said, not everything that is faced can be changed, but nothing can be changed until it is faced.
Waking up with a cup of Joe.
I can't imagine traveling to school every day without it. It helps me in my prayer over our school and our students and teachers. So thank you for all that you do.
The sound of life.
So a little bit of current events there on the world football, you know, World Cup. The U.S. women's national team, they're coming under some fire and things this year, especially. They're having it tough. They made it into the final round. Somebody said by the width of the goalpost, pretty much, they made it in. They won the first game. They've tied since then. So, but one of the things I want to let you know is that Alyssa Nair from Bridgeport, Connecticut, is one of the goalies there. And she's an outspoken Christian. She's outspoken on other things, too. But, you know, I mean, at least let's pray for the team, Alyssa. You know, and whenever there's a group, and depending on how, doesn't matter, it doesn't have to be very big. It's not a very big group as groups go, you know, and you start just blasting on a group there. There's probably some fine Christian people involved in that in the middle. How would you like to be? You ever found yourself in the middle of something like that where people are very critical of the group? And you're like, well, I'm trying, you know, I'm trying to be Jesus in the middle of all this. And I'm sure that's what she's trying to do because she was quoted as saying, I play to glorify God. I worship him with the gifts I've been given. And through that, I just hope that he can be glorified.
Waking up with a cup of Joe.
I can't stop drinking the coffee. I stopped drinking the coffee. I've stopped doing the standing and the walking and the words putting into sentence doing.
The sound of life.
I don't know if you've ever been in a position where you were an Uber driver or a cab driver, you know, and you go to pick up somebody. This particular gentleman was in front of the address honking the horn as they usually do, and nobody came. After a few minutes, he did it again, and it was his last one of the morning, and he thought, well, I'll just go see what's going on there, you know, put the car in park, went up. I heard a frail voice from inside say, just a minute. She opened the door. I could hear something being dragged across the floor, he said. Then there was a long pause, and a woman in her 90s opened the door. She was wearing a print dress and a pillbox hat with a veiled pin on it. She looked like somebody out of a 1940s movie. By her side was a small nylon suitcase. The apartment looked as if no one had lived in it for years. All the furniture was covered with sheets. No clocks on the walls, no knickknacks or utensils on the counters. In the corner was a cardboard box filled with photos and glassware. She said, would you carry my bag out to the car? Of course I will. I took her arm. We walked slowly out to the curb. She kept thanking me for my kindness. Well, I said, I just try to treat my passengers the way I would want my mother to be treated. You're such a good boy, she said. We got to the car. She gave me an address, and then she looked. She said, could you drive me through downtown? And I said, well, it's not the shortest way. She said, oh, I don't mind. I'm in no hurry. I'm on my way to a hospice. I don't have any family left. The doctor says I don't have very long. So as a cab driver, he said, I just kind of reached over and turned the meter off, you know. So we went around town for the next 2 hours. She showed me the building where she once worked as an elevator operator. We drove through the neighborhood where she and her husband had lived when they were newlyweds. She had me pull up in front of a furniture warehouse that had once been a ballroom where she had gone dancing as a girl. Sometimes she asked me to slow down in front of a particular building or a corner and would just sit staring into the darkness, saying nothing. While the sun was starting to crease the horizon, and she said, I'm tired, let's go. So I went to the address that she gave me, and there were a couple of orderlies there. You know, they were expecting her. They came out, and next thing I knew, she was in a wheelchair, going up to the building there. And her little suitcase there at the door. She said, how much do I owe you? And I said, nothing. She said, well, you have to make a living. I said, I got other passengers. It's okay. I just bent down, gave her a hug. I wasn't even thinking about it. She held on to me tight. She said, you gave an old woman a little moment of joy. So there it was, the closing of a life. And I got my cab, and I just kind of drove around. I didn't pick up any more passengers. I just was kind of aimlessly lost in thought for the rest of the day. What if that woman had gotten another person that was angry or something, you know? Or, you know, you're thinking about all the things that could have happened. Just remember this. People may not remember exactly what you did or what you said, but they'll always remember how you made them feel.
Reaching the heart of the Northeast, the sound of life.
Cover Joe Hotline. Yes, Kim, you have best job moment there?
Yes, actually, her daughter graduated college and just got her first job, and her son just passed his medical assistant license all like within the last few weeks. So we've been super blessed.
Wow, that's pretty cool, isn't that something? And you did all that hard work for them all those years. I hope they're appreciative.
So happy for them.
You've been listening to the Cup of Joe Morning Show podcast on the Sound of Life, the Hudson Valley's 100% listener-funded Christian radio station. For more information on upcoming events, contests, to ask for prayer, and to become a member of the Sound of Life family by supporting the station, visit us at soundoflife.org.